Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Almost 2 weeks ago, Iran struck Israel with almost 200 ballistic missiles, marking the second time this year that the Iranians have directly attacked Israel. President Biden has encouraged Israel to, quote, take the win, that these attacks didn't do any significant amount of damage, and respond proportionately, meaning he doesn't want Israel to respond with great strength. What Israel should do is make it clear that the time for discussion about Iranian threat is over. Israel should destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program. Sure, there are plenty of other things they could destroy, like oil loading facilities, Revolutionary Guard bases, and ballistic missile sites, but Israel doesn't know if Iran is going to hide a nuclear weapon under the nose cone of a ballistic missile the next time that they strike. That risk is unacceptable. It's high time that Israel and our government work together to eliminate this nuclear threat. As George W. Bush once said, quote, America is committed to keeping the world's most dangerous weapons out of the hands of the most dangerous regimes, end quote. And that's what Iran is. This is the moment to act. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Are you still swimming in the lake, Skip? It's October, you know.
Actually, Colonel, during the warmer months, I swim 3 times a week. And then when it gets cold, I'll do like wind sprints, and then I'll go ahead and I'll do weightlifting at night. So that works for me and keeps me in top fighting shape for a man of my advancing years.
That's right. Lean, mean, agile, mobile, and hostile. I love
it. That's right.
Here's what we have for you today on News and Comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss how our current storm crisis reveals the quality of leadership in our nation. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then retired Navy Captain Tom Burbridge will discuss a book he helped write, Don't Give Up the Ship. It's about protecting our military from wokeism. Then we'll talk with Chad Heminger, an Air Force Academy grad and former member of their football team. Next, we'll review last week in Service Academy football games. And Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. Naturally, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, the United Nations and its member governments, with strong support from the Communist Chinese, adopted a landmark agreement this month to bestow the UN with more power and influence in global affairs. The controversial agreement, known as the Pact for the Future, outlines 56 actions for governments and international institutions to take over the coming years. Among the key provisions is transferring global governance and further empowering the international institutions across a range of issues, including sustainable development and financing for development, as well as science, technology, and innovation and digital cooperation.
This is another reason why our nation should severely reduce our financial support for the UN. This is a move towards the ability of the UN and other international agencies to have power over individual nations, including our nation. Did you note China's support?
And police used tear gas and water cannons to disperse violent demonstrators in Rome as tens of thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters took to the streets in major European cities and around the globe Saturday to call for a ceasefire as the first anniversary of the Hamas attacks on Israel approached. Massive rallies were planned in several European cities. In Rome, several thousands demonstrated peacefully Saturday until a smaller group tried to push the rally toward the center of the city, in spite of a ban by local authorities who refused to authorize protests, citing security concerns. Some protesters, dressed in black and with their faces covered, threw bottles and paper bombs at the police, who responded with tear gas and water cannons, eventually dispersing the crowd. The rally in Rome had been calm earlier, with people chanting, "Free Palestine, Free Lebanon," waving Palestinian flags and holding banners, calling for an immediate stop to the conflict. In London, thousands gathered amid a significant police presence. Some of the march's organizers had said they planned to target companies and institutions they claimed were complicit in Israel's crimes.
I'd like to know what Israel's crimes are. Muslims are not only welcome in Israel, they're active in their government. And exactly how does attacking thousands of civilians attending a concert, killing many and taking hostages, and regularly attacking citizens for years, how is that somehow honorable or legitimate?
And Israel expanded its bombardment in Lebanon last week, hitting Beirut's southern suburbs with 12 airstrikes and striking a Palestinian refugee camp deep in northern Lebanon for the first time. The attack on the Bedouin refugee camp near the northern city of Tripoli killed an official with Hamas's military wing, along with his wife and two young daughters, the Palestinian militant group said in a statement. Tripoli is much farther north than the majority of Israel's strikes, which have been concentrated in southern Lebanon and Beirut. Israel has killed several Hamas officials in Lebanon since the Israel-Hamas war began in October last year, in addition to most of the top leadership of Hezbollah.
Given that Iran and its terror supporters clearly plan to keep attacking Israel, or why would they be celebrating the evil attack on the citizens of October 7th, so why should Israel stop its strikes against the terrorist groups?
And North Korean leader Kim Jong-un threatened to use nuclear weapons and destroy South Korea permanently if provoked, state media reported, after the South's leader warned that Kim's regime would collapse if he attempted to use nuclear arms. The exchange of such rhetoric between the rival Koreas is nothing new. The latest comments come during heightened animosities over the North's recent disclosure of a nuclear facility and its continuation of missile tests. Observers say North Korea's rubber-stamp parliament is expected to constitutionally declare a hostile two-state system on the Korean Peninsula to formally reject reconciliation with South Korea and codify new national borders. Kim's statement was a response to South Korean President Yoon Suk Yeol's speech at his country's Armed Forces Day last Tuesday. Unveiling South Korea's most powerful Hinamu 5 ballistic missile and other conventional weapons that could target North Korea, Yoon said the day that North Korea tries to use nuclear weapons would be the end of the Kim government, because Kim would face the resolute and overwhelming response of the South Korean-U.S. alliance.
One never knows when an ego-driven dictator like Kim Jong-un may just decide to attack, even a nuclear attack. The world is a very, very fragile place right now. Strong, level-headed experience is now needed in our and everyone's leaders.
And U.S. authorities charged five Chinese nationals with lying and trying to cover their tracks over a year after they were confronted in the dark near a Michigan military site where thousands of people had gathered for summer drills. The five, who were University of Michigan students at the time, were not charged for what happened at Camp Grayling in August 2023. Rather, they are accused of misleading investigators about the trip and conspiring to clear their phones of photos, according to a criminal complaint filed in federal court. The FBI noted that there have been instances of college students from China taking photos of vital defense sites in the U.S. In summer 2023, the five were confronted after midnight near a lake by a sergeant major with the Utah National Guard. One said, "We are media," before they collected their belongings and agreed to leave the area, the FBI said. The FBI said all five men graduated last spring from the University of Michigan. They were part of a joint program between the university and the Shanghai Zhutong University in Shanghai, China.
What has to be done before we all acknowledge that Communist China is at war with us and is doing all they can to hurt our nation? And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. We'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. And then we'll talk with Navy Captain Tom Burbage about wokeness in the military. At ease, troops, take a break. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code frontlines. That's uslawshield.com, promo code frontlines.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillen. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up way out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. About 2 weeks ago, our nation came under attack. As you know, we got pounded by a huge hurricane. The Gulf states and the southern Atlantic states got hit really hard, and then a second one hit. We still don't know all the damage we suffered or how many people were killed or have died because no help was available to them. You know, I can remember a few decades ago when a big storm hit the Gulf states and the media hammered then-President Bush for not adequately preparing for the storm. No media criticism this time, even though the preparation was much less than under Bush. One thing our border czar could still do is to stop allowing more illegal aliens into our country, at least until we've cared for all of our citizens who've lost everything, since a big part of FEMA's funding currently goes to providing for illegal aliens. Those funds could be redirected. And could FEMA have quickly provided guidance to the many people, nonprofits, churches, and other groups acting like good Americans by providing supplies and help to those in distress? That didn't happen for quite some time. A constant comment from any of the would-be helpers was that no one was coordinating things. Yes, things have gotten better in the past week, but why did it take so long? About a week ago, the 82nd Airborne Division was ordered to start helping. Everyone was glad because the Army does know how to get organized and get things done. Why did it take so long to get them and other military units actively participating? Because the roads were destroyed in many places, especially in the mountains, helicopters were needed to help find those in need and help evacuate them. Lots of great Americans who had helicopters flew them in and started helping. And some of these pilots were told that if they kept flying rescue missions, they'd be arrested? Huh? Though I've heard that no arrests were made. And there are lots of military helicopters in the Carolinas. Why weren't those being used from the very beginning? And where the heck was FEMA? This is the kind of leadership and coordination we need immediately at times like this, and this is why we have FEMA. But senior leadership seems to be lacking totally at the federal level. And the East Coast longshoremen had decided to strike just before the storm hit. So did our leaders get them to back off, at least until the storm crisis was resolved? Our president said we wouldn't get involved. However, the longshoremen did back down when the Florida governor stated that if the strike went on, he'd use the National Guard to unload ships. That's leadership. And President Biden took credit for this. Oh, and have you noticed all the support being shipped here from other nations, especially our allies? There's been none. Does this speak to our relationship with our allies? Might this be the time to turn over primary support for Ukraine to NATO and the European Union so that our funding can go to supporting our hurting, tax-paying citizens? Might this be the time to cut our support to the UN? We are by far their primary financial supporter, and if you haven't noticed, much of what they do is contrary to our nation's interests. Indeed, as an example, they have a lot of support for the area around Israel, and most of it is going to support Hamas. Indeed, many of the UN workers there are supporters of Hamas. And Israel is perhaps our most reliable ally in the world. Hey, there are just under 200 nations in the UN. We provide well over 10% of the funding. Maybe it's time to cut that to maybe 1%. That would help us take care of our hurting Americans. This is a huge crisis, as would be a military attack on our nation or one of our allies. We have warships in the Mediterranean where they occasionally come under attack. Did you know an attack on a military ship is an act of war, just like bombing our nation? We need to know if we have leadership to handle a major crisis like an open war, because Iran, Russia, and China are very hostile now. A nuclear war could break out any day between Iran and Israel, or between Russia and NATO. I think it's clear that our nation is not respected because we fail at every crisis. That all became clear initially when we abandoned Afghanistan. No foreigners take our president or any of those around him seriously. It's time for us to pick real leaders who can give comprehensive answers to hard questions. We need leaders who won't support rioters and criminals, who do support our police. We need to get our nation energy independent again and food independent. Can you imagine our nation surviving a major war with our current leadership? I can't. Please be sure to vote for a real leader for our next commander-in-chief. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
For many years, the military has been looking at a technology called additive manufacturing as a way to make needed parts or hard-to-find parts, even in the field, so they don't have to be shipped across the world. And they can fix things like tanks, aircraft, guns, pretty much anything. Additive manufacturing is better known to the general public as 3D printing. For many years, I've worked with the Department of Defense and their centers of excellence as they've continued to advance 3D printing. But the military has been working on this since the 1970s, so for them, it's not exactly bleeding edge stuff. However, over the past 6 years, there's been tremendous advancements. For example, the Reverse Engineering and Critical Tooling Program, which of course has a cool military acronym, the REACT program, it started several years ago to produce parts that aren't commercially available anymore. REACT started small, but now comprises of a team of about 50 people that has become the Air Force's Center of Excellence for Advanced Manufacturing. REACT uses scanners to map and model the shapes of products, ranging from small parts even to entire aircraft. They then use digital design tools to process and refine those scans, and then use high-end 3D printers to produce parts using materials all the way from resins to cobalt chrome. Now, the B-1 bomber is among REACT's greatest success stories. A plastic panel in the crew compartment might have taken about 5 years to replace using conventional contracting processes. What REACT did was reverse engineer the panel and produces it in a 3D printed replacement that they are now doing for the entire fleet of B-1s. And because of that success, REACT is now producing other parts of the cockpit, including a honeycomb composite material that degrades over time, and they're able to quickly print that and use it in the new planes. The success of 3D printing with the B-1 bomber has led the way for many other weapon systems to start using 3D printing. Now, every jet that comes into Tinker Air Force Base's maintenance depot is getting around 200 3D printed polymer parts put on it. And there's now even a newer technology that's being used called directed energy deposition, which uses a laser to melt metal or metal powder and deposits the material onto a surface for precise welding, all without using heat. The team is even expanding into casting their own aluminum parts, using the 3D printers to quickly make aluminum casts. So 3D printing for the military is changing the way parts are made, but it isn't always the right process for every part. It's just another tool in the toolbox. But I'm betting we're going to see more 3D printing at the front lines to help keep our military running in the future. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoyed that. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Captain Tom Burbidge about wokeness in our military. Then we'll meet a former Air Force Academy football player. All this is coming up I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50 and stand at ease.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned.
We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand healthcare access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome retired Navy Captain Tom Burbidge. Tom has done a lot of things for our nation, and he's recently helped write a book, Don't Give Up the Ship. It's about wokeness in our military, and that's not good. Welcome, Tom. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Denny. It's a great pleasure to be here with you.
Tom, take a couple of minutes and tell us about your time in the Navy. And when and why did you join? What were some of the cool things you did, at least the things you enjoyed the most?
I grew up in a Navy family. My father was a career naval officer, actually was officer of deck on USS Detroit at Pearl Harbor as a 21-year-old ensign when it was bombed. And so he had quite a career of his own. And I grew up, and my role models were him and other Navy pilots and naval officers. And it seemed a natural thing for me to just follow in their footsteps. And I never really wanted to do anything else. I wanted to go to the Naval Academy. I wanted to become a Navy pilot. That's kind of how my young years went. I graduated from the Naval Academy in 1969, and my first squadron tour was flying E-2s off USS Forrestal in America. Next tour, I went to Patuxent River. I was very fortunate to get selected for the Navy Test Pilot School. I got to fly a bunch of different airplanes while I was there and really enjoyed that tour, probably as much as any. I left there and went to USS Eisenhower, which has been in the news lately in the Red Sea, and some very good descriptions of combat from an aircraft carrier perspective. It was actually the Eisenhower's maiden cruise, and I was the V2 division officer, which means I ran the catapults and arresting gear on the flight deck. I had about 148 sailors that worked for me. Many had been given, not many, but some had been given the choice of going to jail or going in the Navy. It was a great opportunity to learn leadership skills and to get some real-world experience in developing high-performance teams. And the ship completed its maiden deployment with 15,000 catch shots and arrested landings, approximately, with no accidents or incidents, which was the first time that had happened on a new carrier's deployment. So I was very proud of that. And I said the Pax River tour was probably my most rewarding. It actually was probably the flight deck tour. I really enjoyed working with the guys. It was hard work, you know, 24/7 kind of stuff. But it was a great experience for me. I left active duty and got into the reserves and flew A-7s out of Point Magoo, California. I went to work for Lockheed. At that time, it was Lockheed, not Lockheed Martin. And I went through my industry career. I was with Lockheed for 33 years. Retired from the Navy with 25 years, but 14 of those were overlapped with my industry career. And I had the great fortune of running the F-22 Raptor program and subsequently the F-35 Lightning II program, the two probably most dominant fighters in the world today. So I retired in 2013. I've been on a couple of boards of directors, done some consulting work, and then spent a lot of time with my group, which is called the Calvert Task Group. And we can talk more about that as we go.
Sure, that's good. Well, if you graduated from Annapolis in 69, I graduated from West Point in 64. So we never ended up competing against each other there. And once we got out, we were teammates. So therefore, that's cool. I know that you're involved with the Calvert group right now. What is it and how did you get involved?
The Calvert Group was actually formed for a social interaction from a bunch of guys that are 50 plus years into their life after graduation. We were mostly Naval Academy grads, not completely, but mostly. And a lot of guys out of my vintage years, the late 60s, early 70s. And we had a hard time remembering each other's email addresses, so we had a bulk email we called the Calvert Group. It was named after the superintendent at the time when we were there, Admiral James Calvert, who was a famous naval submariner, actually surfaced the USS Nautilus at the North Pole, first time that was ever done. And just a great human being, and a number of guys in my era actually served with him. And so we kept in touch. We played golf. We'd get together a couple of times a year, tell old war stories, as we always do. And suddenly in about 2019, we became aware of an issue at the Naval Academy. And we had been, I would say, kind of retired, dumb, and happy, not really paying much attention to things that were happening under the surface. And we slowly became aware of what was the beginning of the movement towards woke politics and DEI and all the different three-letter acronyms that you hear today. And we decided that we're not looking that great as to the world we're going to leave behind. And our parents and role models as we were growing up made a lot of sacrifices to allow us to continue with the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. And we felt an obligation to do the same for those that were coming behind us. So we sort of got off the couch, stopped chasing grandkids for a little while, stopped playing golf, or reduced our golf time anyway, and got engaged. And we started out by writing. We have a number of guys that write essays or op-eds or editorials or whatever the right word is for it. And almost all of them were published at one time or another. But, you know, the written word has about a 48 to 96 hour shelf life, and then people move on to the next issue. And we got the idea about maybe 8 or 9 months ago that maybe we should assemble these into a book. And we titled the book, Don't Give Up the Ship, which is a famous naval saying. It was actually came from the War of 1812, where there was a ship-on-ship battle going on, and that was the war cry of the captain, a guy named James Lawrence. Later, it became a battle flag. And if you walk into Memorial Hall at the Naval Academy today, it's large blue flag that says with the words, Don't Give Up the Ship. So we thought that was a good title for it. And in many ways, in a sailor's life, you know, not necessarily in the other service, in sailor's life, the ship is life. You live on the ship. You know, if the ship goes down, you go down with it. It really is your lifeblood. And we sort of, from an analogy standpoint, thought that was a good analogy for America and the U.S. that we all, you know, sacrifice for and the freedoms that we all enjoy, and sort of made that connection, which has a special meaning for us as far as the book goes. And what that did for us, Denny, which is really important, is it opened up the podcast genre, and we were able to talk to people like you, as opposed to just hoping somebody might read this editorial in a paper somewhere. I mean, that's been a great benefit for us. You know, our whole mission is not to sell books. Our mission is to get the message out, to try and wake up folks that are either asleep or ignorant of the issues that really exist, particularly as it applies to the effect on our military.
Well said. And I'm sure you know that West Point's got the MacArthur Society that has got the same focus towards West Point. And we're both, you and I have already talked about it, the STARS, which stands for Stand Against Radicalism and Racism in the Services, is a group that's doing the same kind of thing. But that's a huge issue. I was reading the other day that somebody said, well, the reason we have to have this is because a diverse military is a most effective military. And in my experience, what I want in people that I work with and for in the military is ability and attitude. And I don't really care about your background, your color, your accents, or anything like that. I take it you agree with that.
That's been our position, a very strong position that, you know, it's an interesting thing when you look at society and you look at industry and you look at the military. There are three different kind of segments of our life. And there's a very big difference in the military, between the military and the other two, in that the risk factor is life and death. It's unique to the military. It's not the same as industry or society in general. And in our view, it's the last bastion of institutions in our government that should never be, you know, pushed into this social experimentation and pushed into anything other than you know, the best and the merit-based performance and the kind of things that have to be there. If you look at the pillars of the defense ethos that we have, it really falls into four things. It's recruiting, retention, readiness, and lethality. And you have to cross-cut that with the fact that we have an all-volunteer force. Well, when recruiting is affected, as it is in a major way right now, when retention is affected, when readiness is affected, that all-volunteer force suddenly becomes very hard to maintain and pushes you to other models, particularly when you get into a hot combat-type environment. And right now we have, as everyone knows, we have three potential hotspots going on in the world at the same time. So we've never been in a more needy position to have a capable military than we are today. And those key metrics aren't doing so good right now.
Unfortunately, you are 100% right. There's more to discuss about our nation's military, and Tom is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillow on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I used to before I got into my mid-80s. Then take a break and stay in the area. Tom and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. This is the final formation for this hour. We're continuing our conversation with Captain Tom Burbidge about his book. Well, he's one of the authors, Don't Give Up the Ship. And what we're really talking about is getting our military focused on being effective, not politically correct. Is that a fair summary, Tom?
I think that's an excellent summary. Yes, sir.
You know, I'm used to telling people who argue that, suppose you needed surgery on your eyes, and there were two medical groups in town that specialized in eye surgery. One only hired people based on their ability. The other one was the most diverse group of doctors in town. Which one would you pick to work on your eyes? And to me, that's a simple answer. And when you talk about sending people out to, one, put their lives on the line, but put their lives on the line to defend our country, and so if we're not successful, our country's hurting, we need people who have the right attitude and the right skills. And nothing else is particularly important. In my experience, in my time in service, race didn't mean anything. Color didn't mean anything. Accents, history, personal background didn't mean anything. It was attitude and ability. I'm sure it's been the same for you.
Yes, sir, exactly the same. You know, a former Secretary of the Navy, Jim Webb, who was around my vintage at the Naval Academy, a great American, made a comment one time that an all-volunteer force is something that's difficult to maintain, particularly when we get into a situation like we have today. And the model of historical combat is that troops are led by the leaders that have been taught to be strong leaders, but they're fought by civilians, generally speaking. So when Ma and Pa send their kids off to a combat-type situation or just the military in general, they expect the best leaders to be in charge. And that, again, eats away at this whole concept that we can be a social experimentation, a petri dish. We can have all these different types of metrics that we use to promote people. But in fact, it's the strength of the leader and the performance that's been demonstrated under fire that counts.
Well, and I doubt that you can find any examples in history, not just in the United States history, where anything but that is true.
I agree. The other issue that we are wrestling with as a nation, I think, is that we've moved to a world of sound bites and bumper stickers and social media and trying to get across a message that people will embrace and understand. You mentioned, Denny, the lack of awareness or the lack of understanding of the impact of some of these issues on our nation and on our military in general. And a lot of that is due to the fact that people are just immune to it because they don't get into the depth of discussion or the depth of the issues to try to understand them.
I taught American government at a local college for 15 years, and that plus being active in my community, it's my experience that the average American is indifferent to almost everything that isn't affecting them personally. If they vote, they vote what I call vote stupid. I always vote Republican, I always vote Democrat, I always vote pro this. Somebody gives me a list and I vote it. I don't even know who the people are, much less what the offices are. We need Americans to wake up and care about America. As a Christian, I believe that God gave us America as a gift, and we're supposed to take good care of it. And you've got to do that by getting involved, by knowing what's going on. You can't do everything, but you can do something. That makes sense?
Yes, sir. That makes perfect sense to me. You know, I'd also add that there are certain things going on that should be troubling to everyone, and I'll just mention two of them. You know, one is the after effects of COVID, where censorship became more rampant, where civil liberties became challenged, and more importantly, election protocols were changed. We're no longer in a pandemic. Why are we maintaining those exceptions to the rule because they are counter to some of the key points of a constitutional republic? You know, free and fair elections, equal justice for all those things, three equal branches of the government, all those things seem to be under threat today. The second one is the open border issue, which in my mind is not an illegal immigration issue. It's a mass migration incentivized movement. And the result is unassimilated societal impacts, potential impact on censuses, which means voting, and bankrupting social systems. And we're seeing that get worse every day. Why would Americans, the land that we represent, tolerate the impact of all that? It escapes me.
I wish I could disagree with you, but I totally agree with everything you just said. It's a huge issue. The impact is going to be felt for generations. And most people don't seem to, I guess they're aware, but they're certainly not taking any action that's noticeable to me. And we have to do it. It's our nation. It's what our kids or grandkids are going to live with. And it's not going to be what we grew up with.
That's why this group of men that I'm associated with came off the couch and came off the golf course. We felt a generational obligation to those that come behind us. It may not be our children as much as it is our grandchildren, because most of us are at that stage of our life now. And the world that we leave behind them is important. And people need to understand that. People need to get engaged, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. And there's two things. One, they have to care. And two, they've got to have some vehicle they can use to get involved. I hear from a number of people, well, yes, I'm upset about this, but I don't know what to do about it. Well, there are organizations, there are groups you can plug into that can help you do that. I bring up several of them on this show. It's our country. We have to care about it, and we have to take necessary steps, right?
Exactly. And we need to care about who we are electing, not to get political, but the Stars Group, the Calvert Group, and the MacArthur Society. You know, we are, in essence, a band of brothers that are sort of separated by the services that we came from, but we all have exactly the same intentions. And one of those that we've been trying to promote is there are a lot of really good veterans, combat veterans, that are running for Congress right now from all three institutions and from all three services. And people should research it. If they believe in it, they should be active in their elections down ballot, not just at the presidential level. And they should work to get real Americans, in our view. Real Americans may be a hard term to define in detail, but real Americans, I know what a real American sense is, and I'm sure you do too, Danny, but people need to care about who's running our country.
That's very true. We have to know. As a matter of fact, when I was teaching it, I used to tell some students, you know, if you ran for Congress or something, you'd do a lousy job because you can't read minds. And they'd look at me funny, and I'd say, wait, so few citizens ever contact their state representatives, congressmen, county commissioners, anybody, to hold them accountable, to let them know what they want. And if you're not being held accountable, it's easy to, well, I've always said, the strongest muscle in your body is your rationalizer, because you use it all the time. We have to help them stay honest by talking to them and holding them accountable.
Right. You know, there's one other good example, I think, that underplays this, and that's the industry side of this. Some 25 major companies have moved away from the whole DEI, you know, unearned merit kind of thing. There's one gentleman named Alexander Wang who runs a company called Scale AI, a big tech company, who's coined the term goodbye DEI, hello MEI, which is merit, excellence, and intelligence, as opposed to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think you're seeing, the reason you're seeing that is that it's a consumer of resources without any payback. And I think the same thing applies to the military. The incentives are different. The incentives, I think, on the military side are more promotional, and on the industry side is more financial, but they are the same in terms of their output and results.
Well said, sir. We're about out of time. Tom, sort of wrap this up. Let us have an idea of what you'd like each listener to do, and also mention how people can buy a copy of your book. I don't have a copy, but I'm going to get one.
I'll be happy to send you one. I think the bottom line of our message is that people need to increase their understanding of the criticality of this point in our American journey. You know, there is a good chance that it won't go much further in the life that we've enjoyed and in the freedoms that we've enjoyed. And so it's up to every American who cares to get engaged, to understand, and to increase their awareness of where we are today. I think that's the most important thing. If we're able to do that, like I said in the beginning, we're not out to sell books as much as we are to just increase awareness and get the messages out and help people understand how important life is in America right now if we're going to sustain the freedoms we enjoyed and we're going to continue to pass those down to generations behind us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tom, for your excellent comments and for your service to our nation in uniform and now. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with the Army Athletic Director. Then we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games, and Gil and Skip will present the border in a book. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for self-defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I will use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.